week, a joint appeal from the World Jewish Congress and Muslim World League reached the United Nations. The focus is religious freedom and safety for houses of worship. And I am really pleased to be joined now by Leon Saltiel, representative at UN Geneva and UNESCO and coordinator on countering anti-Semitism for the World Jewish Congress. Leon, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. A great pleasure to be here with you.
Why this appeal to the United Nations now, and what is it about?
Thank you, Welton. Indeed, the World Jewish Congress, who represents Jews living in more than 100 countries, has founded the Muslim World League, a partner representing the Muslim faith, with whom we can cooperate and expand our dialogue on common issues and preoccupations. The meeting you're referring to happened at the headquarters of the United Nations in New York, where the chairman of the World Jewish Congress, Ambassador Ronald Lauder, and together with Sheikh Mohammed Alissa, the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, met jointly with Secretary General of the United Nations, Guterres. Mm-hmm. And this is, in fact, it's a step in a long process. It's a combination of many events that have been happening in the last few years. In April of this year, we hosted an interfaith Muslim-Jewish Ramadan dinner mm-hmm. with senior representatives of the Muslim and Jewish faith from all over the world, where each other wished to the participants best wishes and made remarks and pledges for peaceful coexistence and cooperation. And around 2 weeks ago, I had the great honor to deliver a joint statement on behalf of the two organizations before the UN Human Rights Council, the first ever, I believe, joint statement delivered by representatives of two major Muslim and Jewish groups before a UN body, where together we pledged cooperation, dialogue, and peaceful coexistence as a way to address many of the world's challenges that we're facing today.
What you put before the United Nations, do the brief of what you wanted the United Nations to hear.
We think that religious leaders have a role to play, and we enable a space to be created for dialogue and debate that often the states, the countries, the members of the UN, with their political interests, have a narrow space for dialogue. And we are seeking to enlarge this space. And we're seeking to put interfaith dialogue, and that's what our two leaders asked the Secretary General, mm-hmm. to prioritize interfaith dialogue as a way to address many of the challenges faced by the world, be it climate change, poverty, now we have the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, terrorism, conflict. We think that interfaith can play a decisive role in many of these questions. And that's what the plea I made before the Human Rights Council in Geneva. This is the plea our leaders made before the UN Secretary General, with the hope that by bringing not only Jewish and Muslim groups together, but also Christians and everybody else together, we can give answers and we can bring the governments and the peoples close to one another.
How was this joint message received?
I can say has been received quite positively. The fact that I'm speaking to you today, it's one of the echoes of this statement, has been widely covered in the press and was very widely, very warmly received, I could say, by the diplomatic community here in Geneva. And of course, as I say, this is one of the steps in a long process. We don't think that this statement is the final destination. It's a means to continue our cooperation, expand it, but also reach out to all other partners who want to join us. And as I say, sensitize governments and UN leaders about the importance of integrating religious leaders into their discussions.
There are a lot of people who would think that Jewish people and Muslim people would have very different ideas and positions on religious freedom. Would you talk about the history of interfaith cooperation between the World Jewish Congress and Muslim World League?
Both of our organizations and both of our faiths believe that all human beings are given the same freedoms and rights by our Creator, who is the same entity, the same person, the same Creator, the same force. And as I said, we're destined to live in liberty, prosperity, and equality, free from conflict, oppression, or harassment. So we come both from the same understanding about our role in the world today as individuals. At the same time, we believe that reaching out to Muslim groups helps bridge this divide that's often based on stereotypes or misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. The Muslim World League, they are reaching out to many different faiths. And I think it's important to show to the world that Muslims and Jews can speak to one another, can cooperate. They have a lot more things that unite us than they divide us. Mm-hmm. That we as individuals, especially living, let's say, in Europe, where I'm based, or in America, we have more things that unite us than divide us. I'll give you only a couple of examples. The issue of ritual slaughter of animals, which is one of the religious practices both of Judaism and Islam, is threatened in some European countries. Same thing like male circumcision. So some of the real issues that Jews and Muslims face in Europe are actually common. So for anybody who says we don't have the same understanding, they don't exactly are aware of the situation. Jews and Muslims in Europe are facing many of the challenges that are similar. So that's why this makes this cooperation even more meaningful. Mm-hmm.
What's the hope that you have for increasing these kinds of partnerships and the way that organized collaboration can influence how individual members of different communities are able to see one another and get to know one another?
We don't want to keep this conversation at the top level. We want this to trickle down to the grassroots, to the community level. As you know, all politics are local. So we want people, religious leaders, individuals working in communities, in cities, in towns, to be inspired by what we do at this top international level and bring these lessons back home. Mm-hmm. You know, if they see a Jewish and a Muslim leader meeting jointly with the UN Secretary General, this can happen also in their town, in their city, yeah. Where a local mufti and a local rabbi together with the local priest can come together and speak a message of hope, peace, and coexistence. Mm-hmm. And that's our wish, that we enable also all these grassroots events, which many are already taking place, but to have even more take place by giving us, let's say, our blessing from the top level.
Yeah. Dr. Leon Saltiel is representative at UN Geneva and UNESCO and coordinator on countering anti-Semitism for the World Jewish Congress. This week, in partnership with the Muslim World League, they presented an urgent call for greater focus on religious freedom worldwide, as well as more protection for houses of worship. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift as we celebrate 15 years of continuous broadcasting. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be a part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one other person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief. The only one who could ever
was the son of a preacher man, the only boy who could ever teach me. Was the son of a preacher man, you see, he was.